Turn to Psalm 67, if you would, please. You know, when I was a number of years ago, this is many years ago, I believe God wanted me to be a helicopter pilot in Africa. And I found a mission board that was going to take me and let me fly their helicopters. I thought that's just the most exciting, fantastic thing I could ever imagine. And I went and got my helicopter license, and I was all ready to go. And one day, the pastor of our church came to me and he says, "Tom, we're excited you want to serve the Lord. We're thrilled about it." And he was very careful in coming to me. He was so nervous he was shaking. You ever have somebody come up to you and they're so nervous they're shaking? Even a pastor can. But he was just so nervous because he had something very important to tell me that wasn't easy for him to tell me. And he says, "Tom, we're excited you want to serve the Lord, but the leadership of the church and myself, we are totally convinced that this isn't the direction God has for you. God hasn't called you to be a helicopter pilot. He's called you to be a preacher. And besides, that mission organization that you are making arrangements with really doesn't line up scripturally with what we're teaching here." And that devastated me. And it broke my heart because I was convinced that's what I should do. But yet I respected my pastor, and I respected the other leadership in the church. In fact, there's a verse. I'm going to kind of divert just a little bit here before I tell you about some stuff that's been going on. I'll just read it to you. It's in Hebrews chapter number 13. It's verse number 17. It says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Obey your leadership. They're looking out for your best good. God is using your leadership. They're not your dictators. They're not your masters. The Lord Jesus is our master. But they're God's people that help to look out for you and help to protect you. And that's exactly what my pastor was doing. But I was so convinced that's the direction I should go. But I didn't just jump into it. I took it seriously what my pastor told me. And so I took a time of prayer and fasting. From a Sunday night all the way through a Thursday morning, I didn't eat anything, I didn't drink anything, and I read all the way through the New Testament. And I looked and searched and tried to find a way around Hebrews 13:17. And I can guarantee you there's no way around Hebrews 13:17 in the New Testament. And I went back to the pastor and I told him what I did, and I said, "I'm going to submit to your leadership." And that was one of the best decisions I ever made in my life. And they were absolutely right. It wasn't a good organization for me to become involved in. And God didn't call me to be a helicopter pilot. He called me to be a preacher. Now, years later, God turned me into a preacher, happens to have some airplanes. But it was a whole different direction, and it came with a full approval of course, Pastor Scott's totally behind that. And the pastor I was in a church before, he was totally behind that. And we just praise God. He really, really ministered in me. Through his people that way. So young folks, as you are seeking God's will, and older folks too. In fact, I'm going to share a verse about some older folks in a little bit. As you seek God's will and submit yourself to Him, say, "Holy Spirit, lead me today. Lead me in my life." He will not fail to do that. Take a look, if you would, there in Psalm 67. I'm going to read those two verses. I'm going to tell you a little bit about what's been going on in our lives. Psalm 67, "God, be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us, Selah." And verse 2, "that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations." My wife and I and our children just absolutely love being missionaries. It's just one of the most exciting things. I mean, we don't do it for the excitement. I tell people I don't go looking for excitement. Excitement finds me. And I'll tell you about a couple of things. But Pastor Scott was out there a few months ago and had the opportunity to teach some Bible Institute students. And not long after you were there, Pastor, there was a graduation for these Bible Institute students. And they asked me to come out and preach the graduation message. And I was all excited about doing that. It was way out, just about 3 miles from where you were. And it was all set up. I was going to get up early that morning and get in the airplane and fly out to this very remote place. And I woke up in the morning, and you know these air guys that are out in front of the used car lots, and they blow air in them, and they're flopping around like that to grab your attention. Well, you know, those are kind of interesting, but when your windsock at your airstrip is doing the same thing, only horizontal, is going like that, it's too windy to fly. And so I couldn't fly out there. It was just way too windy. So I was praying that the Lord would bring the wind down. And finally, after about an hour or so, the wind came down, jumped in the airplane, had three people from camp that I was going to drop off on the way. I dropped a couple of them off at one airstrip, another one at another airstrip. Then I got to the airstrip where Pastor Felix, who's become Pastor Scott's friend, and Pastor Felix had arranged for a motorcycle. It was about a four-mile hike out to where the graduation was to be. So he sent me his 100cc motorcycle with a guy in the front of it. And I jumped in the back of this motorcycle. I was just going down through the rocky trails and through the streams and up. And I'm thinking, boy, this is going to be really kind of exciting. And but I was amazed. The guy was really, really good at it. And we went through the streams and up the hills and around. And he was, you know, about halfway there. And then there was this about a 6-inch water pipe that was across the road, and it had eroded out, so the water pipe was exposed at about a 45-degree angle. Now, Brother Crabtree, I hear you ride motorcycles, and you're riding along. What happens when you hit a water pipe at a 45-degree angle? I'll tell you what happened in our case. Faster than you can think it, I was flat on my back on that rocky trail. Now, sometimes things happen, you think, you just have like a quarter of a second or half a second to think, oh, this is really going to hurt. That one, it happened before I even knew it. I was flat on my back. I thought, oh boy, this is going to be bad. And I wiggled and moved around and got up and, wow, nothing hurts. Got back in the motorcycle and got over to the graduation. And on the way, I'm thinking, you know, this is just great. This is just great. Pastor Scott, he's never had that experience going to a graduation ceremony on a motorcycle, flat on his back, and see how God protected him and off you go again. Got to the ceremony there. People have been waiting. They waited. Part of the reason was because I was a preacher. But the other reason was I had one of the graduation ropes. They couldn't have the graduation with all the graduation ropes. So I had one of the graduation ropes. So the guy got the graduation robe. And there were about 200 people there, maybe close to 300 people, something like that. And I looked out over the crowd there, and I was just absolutely humbled and totally blessed because those folks out there were spiritual children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren that had trusted Jesus Christ and were going on for him. And those five men that you taught out there, you taught more than five, but those five Bible Institute students, all of them now are pastoring, preaching, evangelizing now, and we just praise the Lord for that. God is so, so good. Not long after that, there was an interesting Sunday. I was scheduled to preach at a church. And, you know, you fly the airplane. It costs quite a bit of money to fly it, so you try to really make the best of it and load stuff up. So I had some bags of rice and food I had to take out to some Christians at one airstrip. That airstrip's what I call the barn roof gear bender airstrip. And I call it the barn roof airstrip because it's almost as steep as the barn roof. You come in and you have to land going right up this really steep hill. You got to do it exactly right. And one time I didn't do it right and I bent landing gear in the airplane. That's why I call it the gear bender airstrip. But anyway, landed there, dropped off the stuff for these folks. This was early on a Sunday morning. Went over to another airstrip and dropped some people off. Then go to the third airstrip and stopped there where I was to preach. It was a church that met fairly early on Sunday morning called Trinity Baptist Church. It's a struggling little church. They've got six poles in a row and some thatch roof over the top of it and some posts on the ground with some planks on it, and that's their little church. And it was just a joy to my heart to preach there. It's called Trinity Baptist Church in Monco. Like I say, they're struggling, and they really need some good leadership there, but it was just a joy to go there and encourage them and trust God's going to really do something with that church. Then I got out of that church and flew over to the same airstrip I just talked about where Pastor Felix was, and that church where you preached in, Pastor, he was there preaching on that Sunday morning, had a big crowd there, and had four people that were to be baptized after the service. So after the service, we hiked about a mile down to the stream. He baptized them in a mountain stream, and it was just really, really precious. Those four people shared their testimony. Pastor Felix preached. Just a joyful time. Flew on home. On the way home, I had to take two patients to the hospital. Had kind of a quiet Sunday afternoon. Then Sunday evening, went down to church. And Pastor Julius, that's a church we started years ago, and he's been the faithful pastor there. Well, he was gone because his wife was ill. And I got there, and he'd sent word to ask somebody to ask me as I walked in the door, well, we want you to preach tonight. And I said, well, fine. I love preaching. No problem with that. And we sang a song. I had a guy leading the singing. And I looked across the aisle, and there's a young fellow named Cucuzone. He's probably about 12, 13 years old. And he's one of the king's soldiers. Our daughter Elizabeth has a group of young boys called the King Soldiers, and she's training them. She's teaching them theological courses. She teaches them about the Word of God. She teaches them just all the courses, soteriology about salvation. She teaches them eschatology about future things. Just has a little, you know, young boy Bible Institute training these kids. And Cucuzone was there, and I knew God had called him to preach. I said, Cucuzone, you're preaching tonight. He looked at me, no way, man, no way. And so the leader that was leading singing started another hymn, and I looked over at Cucuzone. Hey, be ready, you're preaching tonight. Oh, no, I'm not preaching. And after about three or four hymns, I said, Cucuzone, you go up there, you're preaching tonight. He looked at me, and he got out of that chair, and he started walking up there. He was just going like that, like he's walking his own funeral, you know. He just walked up there. He got behind that pulpit, took a minute, opened up the scriptures, and he preached a powerful message in the book of Job. And I was so pleased to see that young man just stand up there. I knew he would. And it was just a joy. That was a great Sunday that we had the opportunity that day. And I could tell you lots more stories about that. A couple years ago, a church out in Portland, Oregon, Westgate Baptist Church, a very similar church to this one, similar in size, similar in ministry and all this, just blew me away when they said, we have been wanting to move into missions in a much greater way than ever before, and we want to buy and build and donate and deliver a brand new $200,000 airplane to you folks. And that doesn't happen every day. And I went to my knees in prayer to be sure this was really God's will for us, and came to the conclusion that it was. And God showed me a verse. I was up early that morning praying and just talking to God, and I wasn't getting any specific direction yet. And I decided, well, I'm going to just start reading the Bible. And I read the Bible through every year, and I turned to the passage I was supposed to read that day, and I read one verse. And I said, Lord, there's my answer. And that verse that God used was Luke 8:1. I'm going to read it to you. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. Now, we've been flying for a number of years. We've got an airplane or two over there, but our ministry is expanding. I got a really good associate missionary there. His name is Pastor Sam Sanderlin. We've got some other young guys, Anderson, coming out and joining us. And so I realized, and if you could say it in a word, in a line, what our philosophy of ministry is, it's the gospel to every person, a church for every village, and a pastor for every church. And that verse, it just struck me. That's what the Lord Jesus did. He went everywhere preaching, teaching the gospel, and the 12 were with him. That's been a key element of our ministry from day one. As soon as we start leading people to Christ, take them with us, take them with us, take them with us. And hundreds, if not thousands of times, that's what we've done in the airplane, and we will do even more so with this other one. We'll be taking these guys with us and training them and turn them loose, just like young Cucuzone, to preach the Word of God. And it's so exciting. So last year, we were back in the United States primarily for our son Daniel's wedding. And you all have met Daniel and Rachel. They've come through here. And then we went out to Oregon. We spent 4.5 months out there with our own hands assembling this aircraft. Got it about 3/4 of the way done and needed to get back over to Africa. A Christian brother up in Washington who works for the factory that produces this airplane. In fact, he helped found the company. And he says, Tom, I'll finish that airplane for you. And he worked and worked and worked on it, got it just that close to being done. And we are back in the States right now, not because we came back for an airplane or any other reason, except that my father passed away. That was the end of July. We came back for the funeral. We didn't know what God wanted us to do, except we knew we wanted to come back for the funeral. 3 days after we got here, the funeral was over. And we just got on our knees and said, Lord, we need you to show us day by day, step by step, what to do for these next several weeks or whatever that we are going to be here in Cameroon. And the Lord showed us specifically one of the things next month, October, which is, well, this is this month, now October, we're heading our way back to Iowa, going to help combine the crop that my father planted last spring. And then the Lord opened the door for us to go out to Washington and help my friend Ted finish that airplane. And so the last 3 weeks, we've been out there working 12-hour days, 6 days a week, assembling that airplane. And we got it done. And a couple days ago, Barb and I jumped in it and flew it out here. It's parked a little airstrip just north of town here, Fort Lupton. And we're on our way back to Iowa. And then my friend John Douglas, he's associated with Wings as Eagles. He's up in Wyoming. He's going to fly that airplane across the Atlantic Ocean next year. got extra fuel tanks in it, and he's excited about doing it. And so we look forward to having another tool in our arsenal out there to further the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are seeing lives changed. I just can't begin to tell you how many lives have been changed. Church has started, and I think we're just beginning to see the beginning of it. For many years, we saw God add the ministry, add the ministry, add the ministry. We're so thankful for that. But anybody knows even the basics of mathematics, knowing that addition doesn't add up very fast compared to multiplication. In the scriptures, the Lord multiplied the churches. The believers in Jerusalem were multiplied. As they scattered because of the persecution, the churches multiplied. Churches starting other churches. And that's the key element to it all. Our daughter and son-in-law, Sarah and Glenn Swanson, are out there in the jungles. They have fully grasped that principle of local churches multiplying and starting other local churches. And they've been instrumental in starting maybe a dozen churches or so. And they're seeing those churches get burdened for the next village and going on and helping that. And then the snowball begins to go. Here a few months ago, Glenn got a letter from a nearby village from the chief of that village. And the chief writes to him and says, here's 36 names. I think it was 36 or 34 names. He lists them name by name by name by name. These people want to be a member of a new church that we want you to plant in our village. Now, none of those people were saved, but they had an interest in a new church in their village. So Glenn takes his Bible and students and goes over there and starts winning those people to Christ. And they're getting a church started in that village. And we just praise God for that. An interesting Bible study sometime for you to do is just get your Bible search program, most of us have those, and type in simply the words, and I forgot the words now. Pastor Scott, he was laughing at me. This is the second time I've ever tried to use one of these devices, one of these deals to preach. I like paper, but I didn't have time to get it printed out. Look up the words, blessed is. Simply the words, blessed is. It's in the Bible a whole bunch of times. I'm just going to read a few of them. I want to think you think about something that has to do with blessing. For example, Psalm 32:2. Blessed is a man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. Take Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And just to comment on that, everybody loves to sing, God bless America. We get all excited about that. But the real question is America blessing God? And is indeed United States a nation whose God is the Lord? It says so in our money, and God we trust. But there is a prerequisite to blessing. If a nation wants to be blessed, they must set aside God as their Lord. We need to trust in Him. It says in Psalm 34:8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that, what? That trusteth in Him. Psalm 40, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. There is a prerequisite to being blessed. Salvation is free. We call upon the name of the Lord in absolute trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, His finished work on the cross, His burial, His resurrection, and He saves us. He'll save whoever calls upon Him in faith. And as a believer, we're blessed as we meet certain conditions. It says in Psalm 41:1, blessed is he that considereth the poor. And then Revelation 22:7, behold, I come quickly, our Lord Jesus says, blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And a companion search with that, blessed is, or the words blessed are. And you see many verses that have to do with that, just a few. Psalm 2:12, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Psalm 119:2, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. You seek God with your whole heart. You pay the price. You spend the time. You seek the Lord in prayer with your whole heart. And pray, Lord, search my heart. Know my thoughts. Try my way. See if there be any wicked way in me. and lead me in the way everlasting. He will honor that. He will show you the way. He will cause you to reach your goals. If indeed, my brother, if he's leading you to the Air Force, and we trust he is, he will bless that if that's his plan for you. And he'll use you greatly. And he'll use you in the hockey leagues. And he'll use you, well, I don't know if you can be a professional Bible quizzer or not, maybe, but I mean, whatever direction God wants to take you guys, I mean, he will bless you as you seek in that way with your whole heart, with the whole of your being. Yield to him. And when you do that, you will never, ever regret it. Lots of folks regret living a life that was lived half-heartedly for the Lord. Nobody ever regrets living a life that's spent wholeheartedly for the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's many verses. There's Beatitudes, for example. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And Jesus saith unto Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And again, in Revelation 22, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and enter into the gates into the city. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 128:4. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed, that what? That feareth the Lord. And it describes the blessing this man receives. He works with his hands. He eats the labor of his hands. He has a wife. He has children. He gets to see his grandchildren. And he is just full of the blessings of the Lord because he absolutely fears God. Another verse I want to share with you in Psalm 92:12. And we're going to come back to Psalm 67 a little bit as we end up here in a few minutes. Psalm 92:12. Somebody made a comment about old age here a while back. What's old age anyway? Who's got a definition for old age? Me. Somebody said me. Yes, sir. What's the definition?
It's when you enjoy going into a room and remembering what you
came into the room for. Yeah, yeah. You know, I was about 8 years old, and had a bicycle on the farm and all that. My cousins that live in the city, their parents were not going to let them have bicycles till they got to be 10 years old. And I think, wow, they may never live to be 10 years old. I mean, 10 years to me was old age, you know. And if you're 14, you think 16 is old. If you're 20, you think 30 is old. I don't know, old age, I guess, is just something older than you are. I don't really know for sure. But interesting verse there in Psalm 92:12. It says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. And fat doesn't mean fat the way we think of fat. It just means healthy. In Cameroon, they say, oh, you're fat. That's just a nice way of saying you look healthy, you know. We wouldn't want to say that to each other here, would we? We might get a black eye. They shall be fat and flourishing. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord. That's not talking about the local church. I mean, you could draw a parallel to that. But it's just those who want to be so close to God. Say, God is my life. And my life is yielded to him. They are part of everything he does. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They're the ones that are going to bring forth fruit. They're the ones that are going to, in their fruit bearing, show that the Lord is upright, that he is a rock, that there's no unrighteousness in him. And I'm leading up to what we're going to see in Psalm 67. When you meet the conditions for blessing and you enjoy those blessings, there's a responsibility that comes with that. Not just to share the blessings that you've received, and that certainly is something we can do, but to tell people of the one who blesses. And his name is Jesus Christ. When you're blessed, you're supposed to bring forth fruit. We've got friends in Washington State. They've got a large cherry orchard. We've got friends in California with a large almond plantation, or what, almond farm, I guess you'd call it. And they bear fruit. Wonderful cherries. I mean, I've eaten some of the cherries off that farm. They just absolutely explode in your mouth. You got to chew on them with your mouth closed or you'll get it all over your shirt. I mean, I know that from experience. It's just the most tasty cherries you've ever had. They work extremely hard to bring forth that fruit. Our friends in California work in the dust and the heat of the day to bring in that almond harvest. And it's a bountiful harvest, but it's incredibly hard work. Bringing in fruit is incredibly hard fruit, hard work, I should say, and that is what comes out of blessing. It's trusting the Lord to enable us to work as hard as we possibly can, and He does it. This airplane that's going to Cameroon was a gift, and we worked really, really hard on that gift. You see the parallel there? God promised the promised land to Joshua and the children of Israel. And they didn't just walk in. Well, here it is. They had to go in. They had to battle. And in faith, that's what they did. They went in faith, and they took what God gave to them. In faith, we took the airplane that God gave to us. In faith, you walk up to a guy, to quote our friend Pastor Randy King, who fell face first in a tackle box. I mean, just somebody you think would never be interested in the gospel. Just his lifestyle, his appearance, or her lifestyle, or her appearance, you just think this person would never be interested in the gospel. And it's by faith you walk up to a person like that, you begin to start a little conversation with them, and soon you have an opportunity to witness to them. We're working on an airplane a couple weeks ago, and a guy came up outside the fence, and he had some kind of satanic clothing on him, and he had just piercings and rings all over his face, and he had a little boy with him. And he was just looking through that fence and talking to the boy about the airplanes. And I said, hey, you interested in airplanes? Oh, I love them. I said, well, come on in. And he came on in with his boy, and we talked about airplanes and had the chance to talk to him about Jesus Christ. When you're blessed with the joy of the salvation of Jesus Christ, we can never keep it to ourselves. We're going through TSA there in security there in Milwaukee on our way out to Oregon to work on the airplane, and the bag went through the X-ray, whatever you call it there, and the lady said, you got a bottle of water in your carry-on bag. I said, oh, I didn't think I did, and opened it up. She went through it and found out it was something else, and there was no problems. And I had a gospel track there, and I said, thank you for your service to provide security, and I'd like to share this gospel track with you. She looked at that. She said, I need that. And I said, we all do. And she looked at me and says, I've got a granddaughter, grandson, I forget what it was, that's about to go through heart surgery. And I said, oh, would you just let me pray for you? And right there, I just prayed. My hands were sitting on my bag trying to put it together. She just put her hand on top of my hand and prayed for her for about 10 seconds, and she was just in tears. You know she's going to read that gospel tract. I pray God brings her to faith in herself. Psalm 67, as we come to an end here. Psalm 67, this just stuck out to me here recently. This is what I call the Old Testament missionary psalm. We're not going to go through the whole psalm, just the first two verses. It says, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. You see the three things in that verse? God be merciful unto us. We want God's mercy, don't we? And I'm so thankful that we have it. I'm so thankful that He's saved us. He's shown His mercy to us. God be merciful unto us. The second thing, and bless us. We want God's blessings. And as we've seen, and we could go much deeper into this, as we've seen, if we want God's blessings, there are conditions to meet. We're to love God. We're to obey God. We're to seek His face. We're to yield ourselves wholeheartedly unto Him and enjoy His blessings. And then the third thing in that verse, and cause His face to shine upon us. I think that has to do with His approval of us. Barb and I have 8 children, and they're all grown now. And we approve of them now, and we approve of them when they were little. That not everything they did met with our approval, I'm sure. Brother Jonald, does everything your children do, does it always meet your approval? No, but when Anna does something that really pleases you, you just look at her with that loving face, your face is just shining upon her. I believe that's talking about this for somebody who's walking closely with the Lord Jesus Christ in a close, intimate, personal relationship with Him. I had a chance to speak with a bunch of men last Saturday morning, and the topic they wanted me to preach on was how to keep your kids. And I told them a key point was to have a close, intimate, personal relationship with Jesus Christ that they can follow your steps. And as we have that close personal relationship, we understand His mercy, we understand His blessing, and we realize that His face is shining upon us. He's approving of us. And we can enjoy that wonderful relationship. So what comes next? And that's what you see in verse 2 of Psalm 67. That. And that just simply means so that. so that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health upon among all nations. Among the people in the whole world, who really across the board are more blessed than we Americans? We have the world's blessings of living in the United States. If we've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and we're walking with Him as we should, we have His mercy, we have His blessings, we have His approval, His face is shining upon us. And it comes with this responsibility to make Him known among all nations. And something else we have is a great privilege. A lot of times we look at it as a negative thing in our society, but a great privilege is that God is bringing the nations to us. Two nights ago, we had a wonderful fellowship with Pastor Bruce Carlson in Twin Falls, Idaho. That is one of the centers in America for refugees coming in. And they're out winning these souls to Christ from all over the world. The nations are coming to them. They're coming to Colorado. They're coming to everywhere you go in America. And instead of going through life thinking, well, I wish those folks weren't here. They're ruining my lifestyle. They're ruining my neighborhood, ruining our city. Those are opportunities for us to reach out to them in love. Doesn't matter what their color, what their race, what their religion, where they came from or why they came. God loves them just as much as He does anyone. And the gospel is for everyone. He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You know, the world came to Jerusalem that wonderful day, described in Acts chapter 2. People who spoke many languages came from many places, and they heard the gospel that day. And they trusted in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and they were saved, and they were baptized, and they went on to serve God. And our responsibility, Psalm 67:2, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. What would the Lord Jesus have for you to decide about this evening? We prayed earlier. I mean, I couldn't pray. I'm not going to be here. Specifically, I was praying that God would show each of you who you should invite to the open house. But we ask God to show us specifically that. Have you been asking Him to show you specifically what He wants for you tomorrow, next week, next year, the rest of your life? What He will bring into your life, what He will show you and enable you to do, will bring that mercy, those blessings, His face to shine upon you, and you'll have that opportunity to make His saving way known everywhere you go. So what does God have for you tonight? What would He have you to decide about? What would He have you to prepare to yield yourself to Him for? What areas in your life are there that you really are not seeking God's blessings? What areas are we disobeying God? What areas are we refusing to consider His way? What areas are we refusing to seek out His will in the Word? If you talk to the Holy Spirit, say, I need to know from You. And as I read the Word, I need You to show me that passage, that verse, that phrase that I need to receive from You, Your direction. Then by Thy grace, I will wholeheartedly yield myself to it and follow it. What is it that God has for you here tonight?